Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The gospel lesson for today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. This can be found on page 1016 of your Pew Bible. Today's reading recalls the story of the miraculous conception of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. A reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning with the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thanks be to God. When I was a seminary student, my very first ministry position was pastoring a youth ministry at a small Korean Presbyterian church in New Jersey. And initially, I resisted the call because the church was going through a very difficult time of grief and loss. There were many people in the church that were hurting and feeling lost and confused. It was not my dream job scenario. On top of that, there were only male volunteers who served at the youth ministry at the time and no female volunteers. And growing up in a patriarchal culture, it sounded like a terrible idea back then for me, a young, unmarried Korean-American woman, to be overseeing a bunch of men in ministry who were older than I was. You see, I had never seen women leaders in the church up to this point, especially one that looked like me. I felt so inadequate at the thought of becoming the youth pastor of this church that I resisted the call for months. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like God was asking you to take on something that was way over your head? Maybe you've been like me, and you immediately saw the circumstances and what you thought was possible. But we serve a God who is notorious for doing the impossible. And sometimes he will invite us to God-sized visions, dreams, and assignments that will take us outside of our comfort zones. It can expose fears and limitations that we didn't even know was there. And it's in those moments that we learn to trust God and rest, allowing his power to work in and through us to accomplish his purposes. So we're currently in our Advent series right now, titled Journey to the Manger, where we will read about how God used ordinary people to prepare the birth of his son and reveal his redemptive plans for the world through him. Last week, we heard about Zechariah's encounter with an angel that resulted in the miraculous birth of his son, who would later become John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus's ministry. And in today's text, we find a young Jewish girl named Mary in a little village called Nazareth of Galilee. Now, she was most likely between 12 and 15 years old when the story takes place, since that was typically the age when young Jewish girls got married. We don't really know much else about Mary, except that she was engaged to a man named Joseph. To the original Jewish audience, Mary was simply an obscure teenager who came from an obscure village. As both a woman and a young person who was not yet married, she had virtually no social status. But that doesn't seem to be an issue for God. If anything, we see throughout Scripture that God often uses the most unlikely people to carry out his redemptive plans for mankind. So let's read what happens to Mary in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." Wow. Can you imagine if you were going about your day and then suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to you in all its glory? I think I would be in shock and disbelief at first. Like, I can't believe this is happening to me. You notice that anytime an angel appears in the Bible, they always seem to say, "Don't be afraid." Well, it's for good reason. Angels that surround God 24/7 radiate his glory in ways that make them so brilliant. It's like trying to look directly into the sun. No wonder Mary's afraid. But the angel reassures her and delivers the most incredible word. She is to carry the Son of the Most High God in her womb, the long-awaited Messiah that had been prophesied to Israel for hundreds of years. And she's been given clear instruction to give him the name Jesus when he is born. In biblical times, names were significant. It didn't merely identify a person, but names express the total character and nature of the individual. Actually, this is still a common practice today, where expectant parents might name their child hoping that they will carry and live out the meaning of their name. Sometimes I'll be in conversation with an expectant parent, and I will encourage them to pray and ask God for the name of their child that will reveal his or her purpose and destiny in Christ. In Jeremiah 1:5, God says to the prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." So if God's the one that formed us in the womb and knows what he's made us for, why not ask him for the name? So it's significant that God chose for himself to bear the name Jesus, which literally means God saves. That was his whole purpose and destiny on earth, to save mankind from their sins. And what is Mary's response to this extraordinary invitation to carry the Savior of the world in her womb? Well, she says in verse 34, "Well, how will this be since I am a virgin?" You know, I love how honest and realistic Mary is here. She knows it takes two people for this to happen. And she's like, well, I'm by myself right now. I'm not with my husband yet. While Mary's question might seem like an honest, naive question, I think it reveals something deeper that we're all tempted to do in times when God asks us to do something big. We look at what's possible in the natural. How are we going to do this? We look to ourselves, our resources, our capacity, and determine whether this is an achievable goal or not, instead of looking to God who can do the impossible. You know, often when God puts a dream in our hearts, his plans are so much greater than our plans that it will actually expose every earthly limitation we have. He may ask us to do things that are risky and uncomfortable. We may even face opposition because of it. Saying yes to God is not always easy, but it can come with incredible cost. I mean, look at Mary. Her saying yes to God led to a premarital pregnancy, which was super scandalous back then. And poor Joseph, how would he accept all this? According to Jewish law, if a virgin was found to be with child before marriage, she could be stoned to death. Mary risks the possibility of getting divorced and risking her life by saying yes. She could have easily said no, and for good reason. But thankfully, she trusted God enough to submit to his plan, which was greater than herself. So how will this impossible thing happen where the virgin will conceive? Well, it goes on to say in verse 35, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. So that is how this miraculous conception will take place. The Holy Spirit will come upon Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. That word, overshadow, conveys a sense of divine presence or influence, often indicating a very protective and powerful covering. It's mentioned four other times in the New Testament, and each time it's associated with God's presence covering or casting a shadow on someone, which led to supernatural results. Once it was in Mark 9, at Jesus' transfiguration, it says that a bright cloud covered them. And another time the word is mentioned is in Acts 5:15, when the sick were laid out on the street so that as Peter passed by, his shadow might fall on them, and the sick were healed. So whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon us and his power overshadows us, miraculous things happen. So God's plan for Mary to be the mother of Jesus had absolutely nothing to do with her own efforts, but it had everything to do with resting in what God said and allowing him to do the impossible. And not only does the Holy Spirit overshadow Mary so that she conceives baby Jesus, but he continues to cover her with his protection so that Jesus is growing safe and sound in the womb. Next week, you're going to see that God will even assign Joseph to be Mary and Jesus' earthly legal guardian for additional covering. That takes the burden completely off of Mary to follow through with God's plan. How liberating. What would it look like if we had that same posture whenever God asked us to do something that seemed really big? So when I finally accepted that call and became the youth pastor of that Korean church, I struggled for the first few weeks wondering if it was okay for me to lead as a young woman. You see, my biggest fear was that I felt like I didn't have a spiritual covering. At the time, I thought you needed to be married in order to have the spiritual covering of your husband to do ministry. I felt vulnerable and exposed, like I didn't have anyone to back me up if I ever ran into trouble. But then one day, God spoke to my heart, and he said, "I am your spiritual covering." And immediately I thought of Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." I imagined these massive wings enfolding me, and I was completely covered under God's almighty shadow where I felt safe. And it gave me the courage that I needed to step out and lead. I began to invest in my teachers, and I was so glad I did, because it turned out those men were the most spiritually hungry people that I had ever met. We would spend hours and hours every Friday night in worship and prayer, waiting until the Holy Spirit came upon us in our meeting. And God would begin to move, and he would minister to some really deep father wounds that were in the men as they began to bear their hearts to one another. I remember one night we were in the sanctuary, and the Holy Spirit began to move upon one of them, who was a doctor that was well-respected in the town. But he had never really known his parents that well because he was separated from them as a young boy. So he lived apart from his parents, mostly throughout his life, and never really knew his earthly father. Well, that night, the Holy Spirit began to minister the Father's love to him in such a powerful way that he began to cry out in Korean, "Father, Father, Father," for like an hour, with tears just streaming down his face. As wave upon wave of God's presence and love began to wash over him. It was a holy, sacred, beautiful moment to witness, and we were in awe. A few weeks later, his wife came up to me one Sunday after church, and she said, "My husband is a changed man. He is a better husband, and he's a better father to our children. He's so much more kinder and gentler, all because he's experienced the love of God, the Father." Friends, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us with his power. He can undo years of hurt and damage in a single moment as hearts and lives are transformed by his presence. For nothing is impossible with God. So what has God asked you to do lately that seems big and daunting? What are the dreams and the desires that he's placed on your heart? If you don't have a dream yet, you can ask God for one today. He formed you in your mother's womb and knows best how he wants to use you for his redemptive plans for the world. Or maybe you're already walking in God's purposes, but are feeling weighed down by the oppositions and the limitations that are around you. And if that's you, I want to encourage you that ultimately it is God himself who will fulfill his plans for your life. Instead of trying to figure things out on our own, what would it look like if we looked to God and entered into rest, like that of Mary, who said, "Behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You know, that is a great prayer to pray anytime you start to feel burdened or anxious about doing God's will. Whenever we say, Jesus, I belong to you, let it be to me according to your word, we are surrendering our fears and our control to God, trusting that he who promised is faithful to bring his word to pass. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table, I want you to imagine that God is here to meet with you today and to cover you with his massive wings of protection. Let him cover you in places where you feel weak, anxious, vulnerable. Give to him every care, burden, struggle, and limitation. Let the Holy Spirit overshadow you with his power and love. This Advent, let us be in a posture of rest and trust as we look and wait upon Jesus. And let's watch and see what he does through the power of his Spirit. For nothing is impossible with God. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.